Mel Tucker joining us here on the Sports Map Radio Network from the Paul Bear Bryant Awards. Coach, let's just first talk a little bit about the legacy that Paul Bear Bryant left behind and what you really take from studying his career that you try and emulate a little bit.
Yeah, well, I heard a lot about Coach Bryant, you know, just growing up in the game of football. And then once I got into the coaching profession, you know, obviously you read as much as you can. I actually had a friend of mine who coached at Alabama and had a lot of, somehow, some way, he had a lot of the notes from Coach Bryant's staff meetings. And I was able to pour through those. And the thing that resonated with me was that how much he cared about his players. You know, it was, he always kept the players first. Obviously, it was about winning. But it was always about the best interest of the players, and that means a lot, because, you know, in our profession, obviously, you know, it's all about, you know, it's all about wins and losses. It's a binary situation. You either get a one or you get a zero. And when you're in that type of high stakes environment, and you can still keep the focus on the well-being of your players, I think that's special, and really that's what Coach Bryant was all about. And so in that regard, he's a leader and a role model for all of us.
When you get in a setting like this, just how much fun is it to just be able to celebrate the coaching profession in this great game of college football and be around, you know, David Shaw and some of the other guys that are coming through here, and just being able to kind of enjoy the company of others that do what you guys do and enjoy impacting the lives of, you know, 18 to 23 year old kids?
Yeah, it's quite an honor, and it's fun. I'm taking it all in. When I look at the list of the finalists, I know a lot of these coaches. They're friends and colleagues. I've worked with them. I've competed against them. I've, you know, worked for them, and so it's a lot of fun, and especially this time of year. You know, we've gone through, you know, long seasons. We fought hard, and we've gotten a little break here before we go back on the road recruiting. And just be able to, you know, go to the AFCA convention and then have an opportunity to come here and fellowship with these great coaches. It centers me, and it brings me back to, you know, really what this is all about, because all of the coaches that are finalists, I know, are in it for the right reasons. They care about young people. They want to teach, motivate, and develop the players and set them up for life after football, and so it's just a great way to reset and start off the new year.
Your football team at Michigan State this year turned into one of the bigger surprises in college football this year. Take me back to that first day of training camp and when the season got started. And, you know, I'm sure you want to set the bar high for your program and be able to understand that the standards in East Lansing are nothing short of competing for Big Ten championships. But could you have expected to have success this quickly in year number two for you in East Lansing?
Yeah, well, I talked to everyone at the Big Ten Media Day, and they said, hey, this is really year one for you, because the first year was a COVID year. I said, no, this is year two, and we own it. We were 2-5, and we weren't very good, and we got to get this thing going as quickly as we can. And our goal was to win every game on our schedule, and that's what I said, and that's what I meant, and we worked that way the entire off season. All the way through the summer up into training camp. And after our second scrimmage in fall camp, I told our players, I said, we've got what it takes to win a championship this year. And so that's the expectation. I actually had T-shirts made that said, on the front it said Destination, and on the back it had the coordinates of Indianapolis. And we weren't able to make it there. I told our coaching staff at the Peach Bowl, our last staff meeting, I said, guys, people have told me, they asked me before the season started, what does success mean? What would that look like for you? And I told them that, you know, I thought success is when, for us, would be if we reach our full potential. And I told our staff, guys, I really truly believe that we got everything that we possibly could get out of this football team, and we just got to get one more. And so we were able to finish the Peach Bowl and get to 11 wins. It's only the sixth time in the history of the school that the program has won 11 games. And so obviously, you know, the standard is high. You know, we're going to continue to raise the bar, and we're back to work.
Obviously, the whole nation got a glimpse and then some of the special season that Kenneth Walker III had for you at the tailback spot. And I think it goes without saying what he did on the field was remarkable, but there's probably no individual that can speak more to his character right now than you. And just when you speak about what kind of person he was and how he matured and developed both on and off the field, what did you see from your star back?
Yeah, K-9 is a special guy, and I've coached a lot of players and in college and pro, and as a player, he's second to none. As a human being, he's elite. I can tell you a quick story. You know, after the Northwestern game, which was a breakout game and was really a moment where everyone said got a chance to really see what he could do and what he was all about. He came to me after the game in the locker room and said to me, he says, "Coach, thanks for taking a chance on me." I'm saying to myself, I think we got the number one running back in the country, and here he is thanking me for taking a chance on him. I said, "Hey, thank you for taking a chance on us." And that's the type of kid that he is, type of young man he is. He's a humble, hardworking. He is very team oriented. He's everything that you would want in a player, especially in a team sport. He's a fierce competitor, and I know that he's going to do great things at the next level.
I know you said that you guys had that destination Indianapolis theme this year. You didn't quite get there, but you were able to have that really special moment against Michigan, and it's an in-state rivalry that's right up there with all the other in-state rivalries in the sport. What are you going to remember most about that victory? Maybe the weather, maybe the game, maybe both?
Well, that's not just another game for us. It's a rivalry game. Anytime you play the school down the road, it means a lot to a lot of folks. We have over 500,000 living alumni across the country and throughout the world, and there's not a day that has gone by since I got here February 12th, 2020, that someone hadn't said something to me about beating the school down the road. So that was huge for us. The keeping the Paul Bunyan Trophy in East Lansing where it belongs is job number one. We were able to get that done in front of the whole world. That was the most watched game in college football up until that point. It was a huge stage, and our players were able to get it done at home, and so it was a very special moment, it's something that we have to continue to do.
I suppose a couple of schools that you will refer to by their name, Georgia and Alabama. You were on the staff with both of those schools in your previous stops. I'm sure you have, you know, still to this day, very close relationships with Nick Saban and Kirby Smart. What was it like just watching the game Monday night, and were you able to just kind of take it in like any other fan would?
Yeah, it was hard to take it in just like any other fan because I know so much about both programs. And the programs are about the people, and I was pulling for both programs. You know, Coach Saban is my mentor. He gave me my starting coaching in 1997 at Michigan State as a graduate assistant. I worked with him at LSU and won a national championship with him at Alabama in 2015. Worked with Kirby in his first 3 years at Georgia, and really, you know, was with him while he was laying that foundation. So I just have intimate knowledge of both programs and the people that the great men and women and players that make up those programs, and so it was very gratifying to see both of those programs on that stage to see who was going to finish first. And my hat goes off obviously to Kirby and his program, and obviously Coach Saban. It's just, you could just see, you can just, it just says everything about him when you see his presser after the game, when he wanted to make sure that everyone knew that how much he appreciated his players and how much they put into it, and the opportunities that they created for themselves. And so, both programs, both coaches, Kirby and Nick, my hat goes off to them.
Lastly, just, you mentioned when you were there at Georgia and Athens and you saw that foundation being laid in the early days of Kirby Smart's head coaching tenure. Did you get the sense that he was going to be the guy that was going to steer the program towards what we saw Monday night, the first national championship in four decades at the University of Georgia?
Obviously Kirby's a great coach. He understands what it takes. He has a process. He has a plan. He sticks with it. He's a relentless recruiter. Georgia is one of the top programs in the country, and he works hard at it every day. And I knew that he was going to have opportunities. We had an opportunity in year two there, and came up just a little bit short against Alabama. And it was just a matter of time before Kirby would get that opportunity again.
Coach, thanks a lot for your time, and good luck moving forward in East Lansing heading into year three.
Yeah, thank you so much. Go Green.